Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. Welcome to Route 51, local talk radio for North Central Wisconsin. I'm Glenn Mobrick. Today we remember one of our own, former Wisconsin Governor and UW-Stevens Point Chancellor Lee Sherman Dreyfus, who passed away last week at the age of 81. For the next hour, we're going to look back at the legacy and local impact of a man who defied the experts with the most unlikely gubernatorial campaign in our state's history, who changed the landscape of central Wisconsin both politically and geographically by building a lake on the UW-Stevens Point campus and turning that school into a leader in the fields of forestry, conservation, and the environment. Our guests today include Mary Williams, who hired Dreyfus in the 60s when she served on the UW Board of Regents, who later served as his special assistant on the Stevens Point campus, and then as his office manager during his years as governor. Mary is joined by her husband, Bob, who helped manage Dreyfus's gubernatorial campaign with fellow organizer Bill Krause. Also on our panel, Helen Godfrey, the Associate Dean of Students under Chancellor Dreyfus, and later the Assistant Chancellor of University Relations and Student Affairs for UWSP. And last but not least, joining us on the phone, Bob Engelhard, a retired professor of forestry in the College of Natural Resources, and a man who knew both Lee Dreyfus and his wife-to-be Joyce back in the 40s when the three of them were high school students in Milwaukee. Now, we invite you, as always, to call in with your stories or memories of Lee Dreyfus or your questions for our guests. In Wausau, the number is 261-6371. That's 261-6371. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. We'll start with you, Bob Engelhard. When was the first time you met Lee Sherman Dreyfus?
Well, I knew Lee in junior high school. I didn't know him very well. He was in my Latin class in high school back when he was, I think, a senior and I was a junior.
And Helen Godfrey, where were you when you first met Lee?
I'm not just sure, but I'm sure I met him in the corridor of Old Main. The word went down through that second floor of Old Main very rapidly, come, our new chancellor is here, or our new president at the time. And I do remember more of my first visit with him in his office.
And Mary Williams, where were you?
Well, I actually knew Lee when we were students at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, but I don't think he remembered me when, several years later, he came to be interviewed for the presidency at the University of Wisconsin State University then.
And Bob Williams, where were you when you first met Lee Sherman Dreyfus?
I met him when Mary introduced me to him and said, "This is the man we've hired to be the chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point."
And here, many years later, he served with distinction as chancellor. He served as governor for one unforgettable term, went on to great things after that, and was laid to rest this past week. Scores of people turned up for his visitation and his funeral. And to set the stage for our program, here are a couple of reports, one from Chuck Kornbach, the other from Sean Johnson of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Dreyfus was governor from 1979 to 1983. Fellow Republican Walter John Chilson of Wausau was a leader in the state Senate during that time. Chilson says Dreyfus was a flamboyant, unforgettable character.
He shot across the Wisconsin political scene like a meteor. Then, unfortunately for us in Republicans in the legislature, he decided to flame out. I think he got bored with the job.
Other politicians and public officials who paid their respects included former Governor Tommy Thompson, U.S. Senator Russ Feingold, Congressman James Sensenbrenner, Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen, and State Supreme Court Justices Shirley Abrahamson and Ann Walsh Bradley. Milwaukee Minister Edwin Montgomery says in 1981, Governor Dreyfus urged him to run for a vacant assembly seat. Montgomery lost, but never forgot Dreyfus's confidence in him.
I was very, very much influenced and impressed by his insistence that men reach and or obtain their potential.
But people who knew Dreyfus from outside politics also came to the visitation. Gene Hedke was a neighbor in Waukesha and says Dreyfus was a very friendly fellow.
Go to Pick and Save and he would know everybody. You know the janitor and he'd know the manager, everybody in between, and that kind of a person.
People are also invited to share their memories of Lee Dreyfus by writing in a special book of remembrance in the State Capitol Rotunda in Madison. Chuck Kornbach, Wisconsin Public Radio in Waukesha.
Lee Sherman Dreyfus was the chancellor at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point when he decided to run for governor. He started out with virtually no money and no name recognition. Dreyfus' own Republican Party chose then-Congressman Bob Caston as its candidate. But Dreyfus forged on anyway, and eventually won both the GOP primary and the 1978 general election. Bob Williams was his communications director. He says the press got Dreyfus elected because they couldn't get enough of him.
Well, he said things in a way, and he said in a jocular way, educational way, a lot of fun and games that was wonderful copy for you people.
A Dreyfus campaign stop was more than just a speech. It was a show. Bill Krause was Dreyfus' campaign manager.
We couldn't afford any media campaign. We had to make news or attract attention. And if you want to attract the attention of television, what you do something that's colorful and that moves.
Dreyfus found that niche by traveling around the state with an old bus painted like a locomotive. At each stop, a high school band would play on the bus's roof. Dreyfus would sport his trademark red vest and speak to crowds from a platform on the back of the bus, as in this clip from a documentary by Milwaukee filmmaker Jim Murico.
And after I'm governor, I tell you, exactly as we've operated on this bus, I'm going to be available to you, I'm going to be able to hear your concerns, and you will have access to the governor in this state.
Dreyfus followed through on that pledge, especially with the press. John Powell covered Governor Dreyfus for Wisconsin Public Radio. Powell says when Dreyfus' term began, the Capitol Press Corps was still used to covering former Democratic Governor Pat Lucey. He says Lucey was more calculated.
Dreyfus was the exact opposite. He would throw out ideas off the top of his head without having done any research on them, just throw out ideas at these press conferences, and reporters would madly write them down.
Dreyfus aides say every speech he gave was impromptu. Even his State of the State addresses to the legislature were unscripted. Those who knew Dreyfus say party politics had little appeal for him. Dreyfus also had sharp words for interest groups, who tried without success to get him to answer surveys.
I am not willing to let somebody else's rhetoric, somebody else's diction, determine the content, and all I get is a yes or no. I've made out too many true and false quizzes in my life to know how you can play with that game.
Dreyfus made a promise to voters that he would return to them what was then a $1 billion state surplus. He kept his promise in office. Soon after, the country fell into recession, creating a fiscal nightmare for the state. Dreyfus was later asked about the move by Wisconsin Public Television.
You know, I have people say, oh, you shouldn't have given the surplus back. We had a recession later. Once I promised that's what I was going to do, and I was elected, by George, it was going to be done. And I didn't care what party leaders said at the time. To me, that was a contract between myself and the people of the state, and they had, after all, expressed their will in putting me in the office.
Dreyfus served only one term and chose not to run for re-election. He served several years on the UW Board of Regents. And Dreyfus wrote a column for his local newspaper for 17 years. He stopped the column only this past August, when the struggle to breathe with bad lungs got to be too much. He was 81 years old. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Lee Sherman Dreyfus, dead at the age of 81. That's our subject on Route 51 today. I'm Glenn Moberg. If you'd like to call us and join our esteemed panel, if you've got some thoughts, comments, stories about Lee, remembrances, or just questions, the phone numbers are 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. That's 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. Bob and Mary Williams, you were in Waukesha for the funeral. Your thoughts on the event?
Well, it was a great reunion for many of us because we saw people that we hadn't seen in a long time. We had to be careful that we didn't sit in the row that was reserved for former governors. And they were there, Governor Lucey, Governor McCallum, Governor Earl, and other elected officials currently and past elected officials. And it was a very fine event.
And, Bob, your impressions?
Well, my impressions are that there wasn't a dry eye and there wasn't a wet eye in the House. You've heard people talk about crying at funerals or memorial services. This was a celebration. I frankly didn't see anybody crying because everyone was too busy telling Dreyfus stories. And as you know, he was the master storyteller. And we were just repeating what we'd learned from him. But it was a marvelous celebration.
And he was a Republican, at least nominally a Republican, but his appeal crossed party lines. We had Russ Feingold was in Wausau at the Rotary Club on Monday, and he had stories about Lee Sherman Dreyfus and talked about how his maverick run for governor was an inspiration for him and a lot of other politicians.
Well, he empowered people. There's no question about it. Some of the people who responded to the questions and who were at the visitation had that kind of experience with him. And Helen knows about that because of the way in which students would react to him and also staff members. We felt as if, well, okay, we had something to do. We'd better do it.
That's correct. He was a man of tremendous ideas and exciting for a university administrator to walk into his office for the first time with a simple question. We didn't get to the question until the last 2 minutes because we spent the whole hour talking about the university, various ideas, and when I went back to my office, I had to stop in the doorway and say, now, did he answer my question? But my head was spinning with ideas, and I told the staff, we are in for an exciting career.
And that's, you know, in the obituary, one of the comments at his news conferences, he would just throw out ideas.
Yes.
He was the antithesis of what we think of as the pre-planned, triangulating politician who's got all the answers figured out in advance and finger to the wind, figuring out which way the wind is blowing. I better not say anything to offend this group or that group. He just kind of let it rip, didn't he?
Yes, he did. And the students loved it.
Bob Engelhard, you were a teacher. I mean, we're talking to a couple of administrators here, but as a teacher, how did students relate to him?
Well, he was a student's chancellor. He liked young people. He felt that it was absolutely essential that he kept a finger on their pulse, would meet with them, would talk with them. Anytime, his door was always open, and the students appreciated it. I won't tell you that every student walked in because the door was open, not by a long shot, but the door was open, and that was what was very important to Lee.
Lee Sherman Dreyfus, laid to rest at the age of 81 this past week. We are remembering him and the influence that he had, not just on the state of Wisconsin, but particularly in north-central Wisconsin. We want to hear from you. The phone numbers again, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51, regional talk radio for north-central Wisconsin on the Ideas Network.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from Fiserv Health, full-service employee benefits administration and management for self-funded employers, on the web at fiservhealth.com.
For more information on regional programming for north-central Wisconsin, here at Wisconsin Public Radio, or to have your community event listed with us, check out our local website at wpr.org/WLBL.
The businesses, professionals, and organizations that support Wisconsin Public Radio's programming play an important part in our financial health. When you visit a WPR sponsor, please let them know that you appreciate their support of this station. Thanks very much.
Those phone numbers again, as we remember Lee Sherman Dreyfus on Route 51, 261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742, 1-800-780-9742. Bob, you knew Lee all the way back in junior high school. Did he wear a red vest back then?
No, Lee was a leader. I think it's important that you know that he was elected president of the student council when he was in high school. And that was the number one job in high school. It was more important than the senior class president. Now, once you graduated, obviously the senior class president became more important. But Lee was in a position of influence even as a student, and no, he didn't need a red vest then. He just talked his way into it and was a bright character with, as everybody said, great ideas, even then, as a high school student.
So you could see he was a leader even then. Now, he went to Washington High School in Milwaukee.
That's correct.
What was that school like? It's not your typical inner-city high school.
Well, Washington High School in those days, of course, was in a northwest section of town. They started off a Hall of Fame at Washington High School, and the first five members were inducted the first year. And it'll give you an idea who those five members were. Obviously, Lee was one of them. He was governor. Newton Minow,
who coined the phrase vast wasteland, talking about the media.
That's correct. Television. That was Abner Mitva, who was a...
He was a North Shore congressman in the Chicago area, kind of for liberals and Democrats, what Henry Hyde was in Chicago for conservatives and Republicans.
Right. And then there's, of course, Herb Kohl, whom everybody knows is the senator from senior senator from Wisconsin, and Bud Selig, the commissioner of baseball. Those five people were the first ones inducted into the Washington High School Hall of Fame. Well, that's not a bad group of people.
Men.
It's true, all men.
So you knew Lee in high school, and did you also know his wife-to-be?
Joyce was in my class. And I commented one time, more than once, to Karen, if you looked at the yearbooks, Lee, when he was a senior in the class of 44, and Joyce, when she was a senior in the class of 45, you would notice that Joyce had more items of interest and involvement than Lee did. Joyce was by far, I think she graduated in the top five in the class. She was a magnificent character, an actress, a performer, a leader in her own right. And Joyce always played it, and I think it was natural with her. She played a secondary role. But I said to Karen when she met Joyce and Lee, I said, for heaven's sakes, don't underestimate Joyce. She is a terrific person.
Were they an item even back then?
Not until they were at Madison, no. I could tell you the names of the people that were involved with Joyce in those days.
We probably shouldn't go there.
We don't want to get into that.
And, Mary, you were not only a person who was involved with him all the way through his career, but you were a student with him at UW-Madison.
Well, I was a student with him then, and I heard about him through other students in speech classes, how he absolutely won the hearts of some of the speech professors. And he went through those courses so quickly. He was going to school through the summer and was taking a very heavy load. And he was determined to get through school very quickly. So he's sort of a legend aspect to him even in those years. But I didn't know very much about him until I heard about his being a teacher in very large classes in mass communication at UW-Madison. And he was a full professor when he applied for the position at UW-Stevens Point.
And let's fast forward to those days. You were on the Board of Regents at the time. Lee, when he went before you, remember that you two were students in Madison together or not?
No, he did not remember that. And I had to call his attention to the fact that I knew some of the faculty members who admired him so. And he said, oh, yes. And I admired them.
Why did you end up choosing him to be chancellor?
Well, I wanted to say that at the university we had a very fine president, President Albertson, who was at the university and was killed in an airplane crash in Vietnam in 1967. And he came to the university after President William Hansen had been there for some time. President William Hansen was a great educational leader, but he sent money back, if he had money left over in the state budget, to Madison. That was, he wanted to be very, very fiscally prudent. He wasn't thinking ahead quite as much as some of the people who came after him.
He was trying to balance the books instead of having a visionary's outlook and trying to build a school into something that it wasn't.
Yeah, and very fine person. President Albertson came in and he saw the opportunity of this college in central Wisconsin and brought many ideas about student life, including students, and Helen can talk about that. Well, Lee Dreyfus really admired James Albertson and wanted to be a candidate for the position at Stevens Point because he had started so many things.
Now, there's always tough competition when you make a decision like that. What set Lee apart? Why did he end up getting hired?
Well, there was a very fine educational leader, Gordon Hofferbecker, who was the vice president for academic affairs at UW-Stevens Point in that time after President Albertson died. And he was a candidate. I would say many members of the faculty really wanted Gordon Hofferbecker to be president. But there
you picked Lee, and you're going to have to rush your answer because we've got 30 seconds before the news break here.
Well, right. Lee was a standout in terms of his ability to communicate and to look ahead. And I thought that's what we needed.
Lee Sherman Dreyfus, we are remembering him on Route 51, Regional Talk Radio for North Central Wisconsin. We've got a panel of four people who knew him and loved him, and we want to hear from you. 261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742. That's 780-9742. We'll be taking your calls right after this news break on Route 51, Regional Talk Radio, on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are back on Route 51, Regional Talk Radio for North Central Wisconsin. I'm Glenn Moberg. Today, we remember Lee Sherman Dreyfus, former Wisconsin governor, former chancellor of UW-Stevens Point, as we look at his impact on North Central Wisconsin. We want to hear from you, 261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742. We do have full phone lines right now, and we will be getting to your calls in just a minute. Bob Williams was Lee's communications director as he ran for governor. And, Bob, we were just listening to the news and the story of Bill Richardson, governor of New Mexico, saying the Midwest was awash in water, implying that maybe we should be sending some of our water from Lake Michigan and Lake Superior to the arid Southwest. And you were telling us that Lee had a rejoinder.
Yes, and Mary was right there. She was running his office at the time when the governor of Colorado came to see him with his full retinue of stiff shirt guys from Colorado, and they came in and finally got around to it, and he said to Lee, "The plan is, Lee, we're going to run a 42-inch pipe from Superior, Wisconsin to Denver, and we're going to pipe water from Lake Superior. We need it a lot more than you do." And Lee really surprised him by saying, "Governor, you can have all the water you want from Wisconsin in a 42-inch pipe, but we're going to have to add hops and barley and put it in aluminum cans and send it to you." It ended the conversation, and Lee was thought of as a smart aleck by the governor of Colorado, but I thought it was a wonderful rejoinder.
Bob Williams, our other guest, Mary Williams, who Bob's wife, who also worked with Lee as his special assistant on the Stevens Point campus and then as his office manager during his years as governor. Also, Helen Godfrey is with us. She is
She was an associate dean of students under Chancellor Dreyfus and later an assistant chancellor of university relations. And on the phone today, we've got Bob Engelhardt, a retired professor of forestry during the Dreyfus years. And, boy, these calls are stacked up. We're going to get right to them. Let's go to John in Stevens Point. John, you are on Route 51. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good afternoon.
And is this John Jury?
It is, yeah.
John, your memories of Lee Sherman Dreyfus, and you are in charge of the student.
Well, the center that's now named for him, I was the director there for many years. Uh huh. Well, he was probably the most remarkable person I ever knew, you know, in person. He just had this tremendous memory, and he was a wonderful inductive reasoner, and he would constantly take two disparate thoughts and instantly see a win-win opportunity. And we both really had a soft spot for students, so we got along really well, and he just passed on so many of the concepts and philosophy that are still very much alive there today. It's just perfect that the center is named for him.
And there's going to be a ceremony coming up when, on the 22nd?
The 22nd is the grand opening of the center, and I understand just before that now there's going to be maybe a small memorial for those who could not get down to Milwaukee last week.
That is correct. I've been contacted to be there by some of the people at the university, and they feel that we will have a kind of a memorial or a short ceremony where we can give remembrances of Lee. And it's so appropriate to be in that great center that is now open and open to ideas, just like Lee was.
John, were you? When did you first meet Lee Sherman Dreyfus?
When I first got here in 1972, and the way I met him really was he wanted to know if I would come to a hearing and talk about the importance of traffic being outside around campus. And I said I would be willing to do that, and I went to this hearing. There were 400 people there. I was the only one that spoke on that in favor of that. I found out later he was trying to put a road through what the students saw as a wetlands, and there were 200 people in my building who weren't very happy with me that night. Dreyfus's response was, once in a while, you have to take one for the team.
and yet, you know, he developed a reputation as being one of the great environmental leaders of Central Wisconsin for his work with the Schmeekly Reserve.
Nobody would change a thing that eventually happened there.
John, thanks so much. We're going to let you go. We've got all of our phone lines full, and I want to get to as many callers as we can.
I bet you do.
John Jury of Stevens Point. Let's go back to the phones. Stephen in Stevens Point. Stephen, is this Stephen Ward?
It sure is, Glenn.
And Stephen, tell me about what's going to be happening at what will soon be known as the Dreyfus Center.
Well, let me just pick up on what John was mentioning, and that is on the 22nd, we will have a day-long, literally from 7 a.m. to midnight, series of events and activities at that beautiful building. But the main grand reopening ceremony will be at 3 o'clock out front on Reserve Street. And then, as Helen mentioned, too, we're looking right now at 1:30 that afternoon to have a time for memories and reflections on Governor Dreyfus. And I think, you know, as the tone of your show has gone this evening, it's really not a time for sadness, how quickly the stories turn into vivid, wonderful memories of the man. And that's we're just going to continue to integrate that into this building and this facility and really do a great service to our students today and remind them of the man for whom the building's name and the opportunities that they'll have to learn more about him. I also want to mention, too, to your listeners, if you go to the university website, just go to the main site at www.uwsp.edu, you'll see some links to some of the other activities that we have going on, including we're putting together what we hope will be an annual event, which is the Dreyfus Speakers Series, through which we'll bring inspirational speakers to campus in a lecture series named in honor of the governor and former chancellor. So, again, just go to the website, take a look at some of that information, and also see on our website an opportunity. If you don't get a chance to get your call in today, you can submit written memories of Lee Dreyfus via the university website, and we will be collecting those as well.
All right. Thank you, Stephen. Stephen Ward, the communications director of UW-Stevens Point. And let's go back to the phones. We have Jack in Eagle River. Jack, you're on Route 51. Hello, Jack. Jack, you are on the radio. Can you hear me? Jack apparently gave up. So let's go to... now we've got Jack in Eagle River. Hello, Jack. Can you hear me now? Well, I just ended up taking the wrong phone line and disconnected two people. So that's live radio for you. If you wanted to talk, Jack in Eagle River, we're waiting for you to call us back at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. And also we had C.Y. Allen, I believe, a communications professor who was on the other line, and I disconnected you as well. 1-800-780-9742. We're remembering Lee Sherman Dreyfus on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio for North Central Wisconsin on the Ideas Network.
Contributors to Wisconsin Public Radio include attorney Paul A. Sturgill, serving the legal needs of the elderly and their families throughout Wisconsin and Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Toll-free information is at 888-613-0600.
You get enough jargon and double talk in the rest of your life. Why would you want it with your science news? I'm Ira Flatow. Each week on Science Friday, we skip the bogus and buzzwords and don't dumb down the big issues in science, medicine, technology, and the environment. So join me on Science Friday as we discuss science sensibly. That's on Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
I'm Glenn Mobrick. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio for North Central Wisconsin. We are remembering Lee Sherman Dreyfus, and we're going to go back to the phone calls. Our callers have called us back, and we are going to hook up with Jack in Eagle River right now. Jack, you're on Route 51.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. I was part of a close family of Governor Dreyfus is up in Eagle River now, and we're really pleased to have them and enjoy some of their stories about Governor Dreyfus. We were curious, my wife and I, since we're interested in environmental issues. I don't associate in the environment with the Republican Party. Is it because he was at Stevens Point, which has such an environmental studies curriculum, or where would the association be, do you think?
Mary, do you want to handle that? You worked with him as governor. You also was his special assistant.
Well, I will say just very briefly that Lee was extremely interested in the environment. One of the things that he did all of his life is he picked things that he was particularly interested in and good ideas from other people. And he remembered that Governor Knowles, Governor Nelson, had accomplished things in the environment, so he pushed the stewardship program. But at UW-Stevens Point, it was a conservation department when he got there, and it became a College of Natural Resources, and maybe...
Let's talk about Dreyfus Lake and the Schmeekly Reserve. I mean, that's there is a pristine, clear, beautiful body of water right on the UW-Stevens Point campus that didn't exist before Lee Sherman Dreyfus was chancellor.
Lee just had, again, it was an idea. And Century Insurance was building their big building up on the hill, and John Jonas needed a lot of fill to put all around it.
Jonas was with Century Insurance.
He was president of Century at the time. And the story was that Lee got a hold of John Jonas and said, well, I understand you need a lot of fill. I need a big hole in the ground, which is eventually Lake Jonas. And so the dirt went up to Century Insurance, and in Schmeekly we have this beautiful lake, and it's called Lake Jonas. And here again was another one of his ideas, and shared with a community leader, and that just happened. The other comment I'd like to make is that Lee Dreyfus brought in, as Dean of College of Natural Resources, Dan Traynor, a great environmentalist, and one that picked up on the original conservation idea, and Dan gave great leadership, and I thank Lee for finding Dan for the university.
Now, one of the things that the caller said is that he didn't associate
Dreyfus's environmentalism with his political party, the Republican Party. But, you know, you really don't associate a lot of the things that Dreyfus stood for with a lot of the things that most politicians are in favor of these days or are afraid to speak out against. So let's hear from Lee Sherman Dreyfus in his own words talking about special interest groups.
But the last thing I would mention, and then we'll take some of the questions, are the special interest groups, the one issue groups. And I tell you, we are fractionating as a people. I wonder to what extent you people in your business encourage that fractionation, in effect by house organs or group organs, whatever it is, and people beginning to talk within the group. And that's all they've got, is that one issue. You can be an absolute crook on everything else, but if you're on the right side of the right issue, we're with you, and if you're on the wrong side, we're against you. Well, one, I now question if those special interest group leadership are real. I really wonder if they can deliver the votes they say they have. In fact, my own feeling is they cannot. Obviously, they can deliver the dollars. My own proposal is to put a giant limit on that, because, and I noticed Senator Kennedy nationally beginning to actively and on the platform push this issue of what's happening with the special interest groups who begin to buy the best Congress money can afford.
Bob, you are chuckling there as his as a guy who helped him run for governor. There he is quoting somebody from the other party, Senator Kennedy, and talking about something that's anathema to the political process today.
Well, I would first point out to the caller that the greatest president we ever had in our environmental movement was Teddy Roosevelt, and there's no question about that. So all Republicans, we can't brand them as anti. And Lee had, as Helen said, Lee came in here as a kid from Milwaukee, 39th Street, which they hardly knew a woodpecker from a sparrow. And he came up here and he got Dan Treanor, as Mary said, and I think that's why we have the largest undergraduate university in the United States as far as population of students who are in the College of Natural Resources, which Treanor and Lee brought to this campus, and we're all honored to have that.
Let's hear from Bob Engelhardt, who's joining us by telephone. Bob, his environmental legacy is really one of the main legacies of Lee Dreyfus.
Well, yes, it is. And, you know, he recognized that the natural resources area would attract national attention to Stevens Point. And Stevens Point could become a leader if we had the curriculum and we developed that curriculum and that expertise. I would say also that there's a big difference between people who are interested in the environment and people who are professional environment managers. We taught and we continue to teach at Stevens Point knowledge and art and science related to these areas and how to manage these resources. And we've got the largest college of its kind in the nation. In addition, Lee also gave birth to the Governor's Council on Forestry, held in 1980, I believe, or 81, a get-together in up in the northwestern part of the state, and Cable, a group of related professionals in the forestry and environmental area. And I remember a couple of people from the Eagle River area who were part of that. And that council continues to exist as part of law now, as advising each governor on the status of forestry and the related natural resources.
Let's go to another caller right now. We have another one of your colleagues, Bob, C.Y. Allen, calling us from Stevens Point. C.Y., thanks for being so patient, and your memories of Lee Sherman Dreyfus.
Well, it's been a pleasure to listen to Bob and Mary, who are my neighbors, and so is Bob Engelhardt, literally. So I've enjoyed their observations and pleased to hear their voices always. I would just do a quick insert to the topic here that Lee also started a very fine communication program, which Bob's proud of the CNR and the environmental arena in which he was a professor for so long and so outstandingly. But Lee started a new college and brought in a new dean as well. That was a very innovative way of putting fine arts and communication together. And at the time, the consolidated curriculum that moved us away from teaching secondary students primarily in you know, the speech programs that were more prevalent at that earlier time, Lee was very instrumental in starting what has also now become one of the largest undergraduate, and we have a very fine MA program in communication. So not only did he do some wonderful things in some other arenas, but his love of communication and a commitment to that was followed through on, I think, with his administrative support and creativity for our department as well. I came in 69, and the first party I went to was with the new communication chairman, Albert Croft, his wife Mary. The writing lab is named after her. And the last time I saw Lee was he called me and invited me down to Waukesha for lunch. And turned out what he wanted me to do was to bring all of his files back with me. I don't know if he thought I'd do anything with them or if he just saw it as a free delivery system. But he was closing up his Waukesha business office and his public speaking and gave me just an incredible number of boxes of files that maybe have some historical value, I'm not sure. And I took them rather quickly to the university library.
Now, you were with him during the late 60s, early 70s, a very turbulent era with the Vietnam War, protest, yes, sit-ins. A lot of administrators had problems with their student bodies. They couldn't relate to the students, to the protesters. Lee wasn't like that. In fact, Bill Krause quotes him as giving his first address to the students at UW-Stevens Point, saying, I'm Lee Sherman Dreyfus. My initials are LSD, and we're going to take a terrific trip together.
That's correct.
That's correct.
He had a rapport with students even during, and he wasn't anti-military. By, you know, he supported the ROTC, which was on campus at the time. And if I can ask Bob as well, what do you think the key was to the way he was able to relate to students at the time?
Oh, he could take a complex issue that I could explain in a page, and he could explain it in a paragraph. And he identified with the students, and he said, this is a First Amendment campus, free speech, free speech, free speech. And so everybody gets a chance, but you're not going to overstep your bounds like they tried to burn down Nelson Hall because it held the ROTC unit. And he became president of the National ROTC. But he could take the subject, and rather than the four-letter words the students were using, he used other four-letter words to describe what is best to be done in a time of crisis. And he favored the military, and he said, I want to have the officers of the military be graduates of the universities, which will mean we will have the military will not be on campus. The students' officers will be in the military.
CY, we're going to let you go because we're down to our last few minutes. I want to get to one more call, but thanks so much for calling in.
Very glad to be a small part of it, Glenn. Thank you, sir.
And let's go back to the phones. We have Don in Stevens Point. Hello, Don.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Speaking about his views as a Republican, he either told me or I was in his presence when he described himself before he even decided to run, to my knowledge at least, for governor. He described himself as a Republicrat because he felt he could go when he wanted to plead for the university, he could go to the state legislature and not be a partisan Republican or Democrat. So he called himself a Republicrat, which I thought was rather clever.
I'm going to play one more clip from him really quick. One of the worst things you can be in this day and age is to change your mind or change your views on a subject if you're a politician. They call you a flip-flopper. But this was something that Lee Sherman Dreyfus didn't worry about. Here's Lee Sherman Dreyfus talking about change.
You know, I don't understand this. Anybody say, do you, 6 months ago you said exactly this, you've changed. I said, there's something wrong with change. I come from an academic field where we look at change as absolutely necessary. In fact, I'll reverse 180 degrees. Somebody give me information that says it ought to be changed. Let us not put our political leadership into a box, and the political process communicatively tends to do that. You made a change from this to this, and I mean some of it gets so nitpicky. It is difficult for me. I tend to see things in humor vein, because normally sometimes I get a stick-it-in-your-ear kind of reaction pops up in my mind, and I think, don't react that way. That's too bad.
Lee Sherman Dreyfus, could a man like that be elected governor today? Could he be elected president today?
Hard to say, but I wanted to share one interesting thing with I came the same year that Lee did in '67.
Don, we're down to our last minute.
Well, I'll just say quick. We took our band and choir on a concert tour to Europe for 20 days. We were waiting for the buses. Got the buses outside of the old main building, and we couldn't get the trunks with our timpani in them. And without batting an eye, he had a truck there to take our timpani in their trunks down to O'Hare so that we could fly over to Europe and do our concert tour. And that's a fond memory I have of how quick he was to help.
A man of action.
Yes.
And a man of words as well. Many, many words. So we remember Lee Sherman Dreyfus here on Route 51. And we, unfortunately, are completely out of time. Jim in Wausau, sorry I didn't get to you. And we could keep this going all night, I think, if we had the time.
Lots of stories.
We want to thank our guests, Mary Williams, who served as office manager for Governor Lee Dreyfus, also former Associate Dean of Students and Assistant Chancellor Helen Godfrey, retired professor of forestry, longtime friend of Lee Dreyfus, Bob Engelhard, and special thanks to Bob Williams, who helped manage Lee's campaign for governor. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Kelson Quisler. Thanks, as always, to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. And thanks to you for riding with us today. Until next week, we're heading out of town.